Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio now on the Western Hotline in a chilly, I mean, it's beyond chilly, freezing morning here in Buffalo. It is. What's the real feel up to? The real feel was like 3 degrees when I woke up. Morning, Sal. If you've been outside, you know how cold it is. It might be colder, though, for the game on Sunday, honestly.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I saw Pat Hammer tweet out this morning something to the effect of the game Sunday will be a lot like the Sunday game. I'm sorry, the playoff game against the Patriots a few years ago. The New England game, yes.
Yeah, frigid temperatures, wind chills of -3 to 8 degrees, snow late maybe, but
really?
Not early, 10 degrees. Yeah, like it's going to be a really cold one. I feel like that is becoming a part of the story as the week takes shape here. We'll get to injury stuff in the matchup, but there was a story about how the Ravens field was frozen because I guess it's also really cold there. But that Harbaugh wants to make, like, they practiced indoors, Sal, I guess, but they wanted to make it as cold as possible. So I don't know how far that extends. Like, were they opening doors and windows? I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, I mean, the Bills are also practicing indoors, to be fair, just so everybody knows. And I think part of the reason is, too, you look out at their practice field, and it's probably the same situation. I see a tarp over it and all that. The Bills are also much more, I think, adept at playing in frigid temperatures like that. You had the stat the other day, I believe. Was it 22 degrees, maybe?
Yeah, 20,
the lowest?
22 was the lowest that Derrick Henry's ever played in, and 27 was the lowest that Lamar Jackson's ever played in.
That's mind-boggling to me, considering that the Ravens are in the North. They play Pittsburgh. They play Cleveland. They've played they played AFC East teams. But it's understandable, too, because, you know, that is really cold, what we get here in Buffalo this time of year. So it's interesting. And then yesterday Lamar was asked about if he's going to wear a glove. And he said, nah, I tried it in practice. It was terrible. And he said, and he joked and said, I'll leave that for Teddy Two Gloves, Teddy Bridgewater, which was kind of funny. But he also was talking about how, I have a big heater on the sidelines. And I don't know. I just think that it's becoming a storyline. It's being talked about. And it's something that a lot of times, Joe, it becomes mental, right? A lot of times, especially for teams from down south or out west or in a dome, they come to Buffalo. And a lot of people have always talked about over the years that as soon as you get off the plane, it kind of becomes mental. Oh, my God. Like, well, you got to play in this weather. Mm-hmm. I don't think for the Ravens is not as much as that because they are an eastern and northern type team. But I do think that the chatter and the talk is really interesting about this with them.
Yeah, right, because even though they haven't played in, 5 degrees before, they have played in a few 20-degree games in the 20s, 30-degree games. So, right, they're not Miami or a team from, like, a southern division where they're playing all the time like that. And even, like you mentioned, like, it is weird. I thought so, too, that Jackson hasn't played in, like, Pittsburgh or Cleveland at a colder game. There were, I think, two Steeler games and maybe even a Cleveland game that he missed due to injury late in a season that would have had him play in that, but I think it was Huntley. So, you know, like, you're down on the sidelines, and we've lived here almost all our lives. Like, it is – 25 is cold, but it's – you know, there's a big difference between 25 and a wind chill of -3.
And there's a really big difference if you're playing well versus not playing well, and you get down, right? I mean, if it's you're down two scorers and it's that temperature, that's a big difference than if you're up two scorers and you're in that mm-hmm. temperature. And, you know, anything can happen, but I just think that there's a mentality that goes about all that, right? So I don't think, you know, as of now, it's going to be super windy. And again, we'll pad on tomorrow. Patrick Hammer will give us the full update, you know, tomorrow on the Extra Point Show. But the wind can certainly matter. I don't think it should be super windy, but the wind chill, as you say, you know, will still bring those temperatures down. So, yeah, it is a storyline this week on top of, obviously, a lot of other storylines this week.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, let's get going with the Barnes Firm Injury Report. Brought to you by the Barnes Firm Injured for Help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. And it feels like it's a good start to the week for the Bills and maybe not so great a start to the week for the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, for the Ravens, let's start there, with Zay Flowers, I've felt since even the other day that he's not going to play, just based on the way that John Harbaugh talked about his week, and we'll know later in the week if he can practice. And then he said, well, you know, let's be clear, he doesn't have to practice to be able to play. And I thought, man, he's giving himself the way to kind of put it out there just to let everybody know that there's a possibility. It just doesn't feel like that's the case. And Joe, even if he does play, I don't know how well Zay Flowers can perform on that knee, considering that he's the type of player that I think really needs to be able to cut on that knee. And, you know, that's what his game is. So, right, not a good start for his availability. But I think we all expected he wouldn't practice on Wednesday. Today is the much bigger day, probably, for Zay Flowers. If he is limited in some capacity, I think it does open the door, you know, for them to say, okay, well, we think he's getting there and progressing. But it just doesn't sound like it's trending in that direction. For the Bills, yeah, I mean, only two players were limited, and one is a really big deal because it's Ray Davis, who's in concussion protocol. So by Ray Davis being limited, it means he's starting some football activities. He's progressing through the concussion protocol. So obviously that's a really encouraging sign on a Wednesday for a Sunday game for him. And then the only other one would be Alec Anderson, who had a calf injury on Sunday. He left the game. He did return. He finished the game. He was termed day-to-day by Sean McDermott on Monday. It seems like that's going in a good direction. And then really good news that Brandon Codrington actually practiced in full. I spoke with Brandon after practice. He said he felt he was good enough to play last Thursday, but, you know, it's not up to him, obviously, and they wanted to really make sure that he was fine. So by the time they got to Sunday, you know, obviously they had elected to have Khalil Shakir take punts.
The Bills have been very healthy this year, Sal, at running back. If Davis were to have trouble clearing protocol fully or even have a setback, Frank Gore Jr., is that the only running back they have on the practice squad?
Yep, that's the guy they would probably bring up. And, you know, there's nobody – I don't think at this point in the week you're signing anybody like they did yesterday, which we can talk about for sure with Anthony Brown at quarterback. But at this point in the week, I don't think that's the case. So I would think, now let's remember, Reggie Gilliam is a fullback / running back / tight end, however you want to term him. He can carry the ball a couple times. But that's obviously a different skill set and something that you're going to need an extra running back probably on the roster if Ray Davis were to not clear concussion protocol. My guess would be by 4 p.m. on Saturday, you would hear that Frank Gore Jr. was elevated.
Right. Frank Gore Jr. is a lot smaller, so that would be interesting. But they have Ty Johnson, right, short yardage.
Yes, exactly. He'd probably, Joe, only be used like if they really needed him like for an injury, right? You'd really kind of – I think you'd go with Cook and Johnson as your guys because really, honestly, Ray Davis hasn't touched the ball a ton anyway lately, right?
Right.
He has a little bit, but it's really been a lot of mostly Cook and Johnson anyway.
Yeah, because it's interesting. He hasn't really even played poorly. It's just Johnson and Cook have been so good that he's kind of just naturally fallen to third in the depth chart. But yeah, you're right. And you're right to mention Gilliam. Like if they got in such a pinch where like the injury started happening, like they – pass protection stuff, like you'd probably see Gilliam get a role anyway if they really, really needed it. But hopefully not. Cook and Johnson at the top. Yeah, you mentioned the practice squad move. So Anthony Brown, who, am I remembering right, did he not have was he like 11 of 11 in a preseason game for the Bills, Sal, this year? Like he's been with the Bills, but he's also been with the Ravens in the past.
Yeah, he was with the Ravens 2 years ago, and he really wasn't in the Todd Monken offense for them. So when he was with the Bills, he actually, here, let me read here. This is Wikipedia page. I just want to get this right, too. Last year, August 29th, 2023, Brown was waived by the Ravens and re-signed to the practice squad. He was released on September 4th. So he had spent time with the Ravens, actually, a little bit last year. He has a little familiarity at that particular junction with their offense, but that's not why he's here. I mean, he is in a sense, right, because he knows that offense. What he's really here for, and the Bills did sign him, and they re-signed him because he was on the Bills practice squad. And yeah, I think you're right, Joe. If I remember back, he had a really nice preseason game. But either way, you know, he was here with the Bills, you know, earlier this year, back in August. And I love the insight Sean McDermott gave, because you don't get, a lot of times, you know, with Sean, you're going to get a lot of very general responses, right? It's just the way he normally conducts his press conference. He's not going to give you too much. I thought he was really good yesterday on Anthony Brown. Here's what he said. It's not just, someone said, well, he's obviously your Lamar Jackson scout team quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he said, but there's a bigger picture than that. And what Sean said was, you could put a lot of guys back there to try to, you know, replicate a little bit of how Lamar Jackson's going to play quarterback. But if you just put like some mobile guy back there, the whole defense knows what's coming in scout team. Like the whole defense, starting defensive Bills, like, all right, well, he's back there. He's running around. With Anthony Brown, you can actually throw the ball. So they can't just say, oh, here's a guy running around and we're just going to, it doesn't keep you on your, you know, truly honest. And the way he said it was, in order to hide that, what Anthony brings is both. He can run it and throw it, a true, honest look down in and down out. And look, real quick, you know, we've talked about this on the radio before, you and I. This is all back to old Extra Point Show days. You know how we say things with crutches sometimes? Like you and I both have sayings, and we use them, we overuse them. Yesterday, a shout out, we had a listener who tweeted at me and told me that I say look a lot. So I'm trying not to do that, Joe. I just want you to know that. If I say look, I might have to owe you a dollar every time, okay? So I'm trying to be better. And we're always trying to be better with ourselves, right? So I'm trying not to use that crutch. I just did it right there. I might owe you a dollar.
That's not a bad crutch, though, I wouldn't say.
No, he said it was unprofessional. I don't think it's unprofessional. It is something that we do sometimes. We all have our own crutches in the way that we speak, and we don't realize it, but I just noticed that I said that to you. Okay, let me go back. I would tell you, though, that when I tweeted this out yesterday, what Sean McDermott said, several people, of course some Ravens fans, oh yeah, like they really think Anthony Brown is going to simulate Lamar Jackson. You can't do that. That is not the point. Nobody can simulate Lamar Jackson. Nobody can simulate Josh Allen. Nobody can simulate Patrick Mahomes. But you have to find the best possible scenario you can to prepare your team for as close of a replication as you can to the offense you're going to see or the defense you're going to see. I don't know if you remember, Joe, but last year when the Bills played the Raiders, after the game, Max Crosby did nothing in that game. Like, he did nothing against the Bills. Mm-hmm. And after the game, Spencer Brown in the locker room said, you guys need to know, Kingsley Jonathan was amazing at playing the role of Max Crosby this week, like in practice. He said he was awesome. And we talked to Kingsley, and he said, yeah, that's your job. Your job is to study that person, do everything you can to help the guys across from you prepare for what they're going to see. That's Anthony Brown's role at practice this week. He's going to do everything he can to try and show the Bills defense what the Ravens and Lamar Jackson are going to do. Is he Lamar Jackson? Of course not. But if you can't, if your attitude is, well, it's not going to matter anyway, then why practice, right? I mean, that's the whole point of trying to do this.
Right. Right, exactly. And you, I mean, I'm sure, right, like on the other side, like they can't fully replicate Allen. What I'm thinking about when I hear that, Sal, is everyone is so on the defensive this week about, like, not, yes, not everybody, but a lot of fans are, and that's mostly social media. But I saw a chart from Pro Football Network today that kind of made me think about this, that the Bills, these two eras of these two teams, the Bills and Ravens 2018 to 2014, it's the most wins in a 7-year span without reaching the Super Bowl in NFL history. Yeah. The Bills are number one and the Ravens are number two. And I don't know. Do you think I'm wrong? Like, I think that's mostly a product of These two teams are so... They love their team so much. They know how good they are, and they also don't have the hardware to just like end an argument outright because Kansas City, neither team's been able to get past the Chiefs. And I feel like that's what it is. It's that both teams, both fan bases more so, want the credit of being like an all-time great team, and they just can't break down the door. And now here they are like kind of on the same level, and it's, again, like you're just arguing about who's better or whatever when nobody yet has done the thing that you're supposed to do, which is beat Kansas City.
I also believe I heard, I think if I remember this stat correctly, it might make sense. You can look it up, Joe, maybe, but that Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen have like the most playoff win, or no, what was it? These two teams since then have the highest winning percentage without going to a Super Bowl. Is that what you just said? You said it over the last whatever years. Yeah. I think it's even all time, like maybe these quarterbacks or something like that. You know what I mean?
That sounds right too, yeah, because this one's 18-24 with the most wins. But if you did it by win percentage, then I'm sure that would also be that.
I think that's all time too, not just over the last 7 years. But here, your point is right. I mean, how many times have we said, and I believe this, I think if the Buffalo Bills were in the NFC with their current team, they probably had been to a Super Bowl at least by now, right?
Right.
But they have the Kansas City Chiefs in front of them. I think maybe Cincinnati Bengals feel the same way. Or
the Ravens,
maybe the
Baltimore feel the
Ravens
way.
Feel the same way. Of course, right? No doubt. And the big bad Chiefs are right there. That said, the Bills have self-destructed when they've played the Chiefs a couple of times. They've had opportunities to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. They didn't do it. We all know what happened with 13 seconds left. We all know what happened last year as they went back and forth and they had an opportunity towards the end of the game. So it's not like, you know, it hasn't been there for them to do it and they haven't done it. So, you know, people will point to those moments. There's no doubt. They'll point to, you know, Sean McDermott and to a lesser degree, Josh Allen. But of course, he's the quarterback. So he's the one that gets put in the spotlight. With Lamar Jackson, I've talked to a lot of people in Baltimore this week, and you know, around the country on a lot of these shows, and I just feel there's really an interesting like way of looking at it for both teams, which is you have four key characters here, right? You have the two head coaches, the two quarterbacks, and these are legacy type of games. But John Harbaugh is kind of a made man because he has a Super Bowl already,
right?
Regardless of past and recent playoff failures, he does have that. So if the Ravens don't get to where they want to go, most of the attention goes towards Lamar Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's just past playoff performances and, you know, here they are again. I mean, although you do have a lot of people in Baltimore who say, you know, it was a long time ago for John Harbaugh, you know, and he's made mistakes and maybe it's time to move on. You do have that.
Yeah.
You know, in Buffalo, it's the opposite, which is because Josh Allen has performed so well in the playoffs and the Bills and those in even in the losses they've had, you don't really point to Josh, although the Cincinnati game nobody played well. People point at Sean McDermott, right? And because he doesn't have a Super Bowl and he hasn't reached the Super Bowl. And even though Josh Allen doesn't have the hardware, Lamar has, that's where people point to. So I just think it's super interesting about the legacies of how everybody takes into account, you know, where the, and I don't love the word narrative, but where the narratives will go.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think that all of them deserve credit for how really great they've been in their roles and jobs. It's really hard to win a championship. It's really hard to even win a conference championship. And you know me, I'll tell you, like I think Sean McDermott's an excellent coach. Is he above reproach? No. Has he made mistakes? Of course. You know, and but you went to beat the Kansas City Chiefs to get over the ultimate hump. And, you know, it's a tough thing to do, and I get it. I understand completely what you're saying.
Yeah, and by the way, I think I said that stat wrong. It is, that's any seven-year span ever without reaching a Super Bowl. So the 18-24 Bills and the 18-24 Ravens just edge out the 99-2005 Colts for the most wins over 7 years in any span without making a Super Bowl, which just kind of adds to the point. And as you kind of go through that, Sal, with the Ravens, like Jackson is the one that I think there is the most pressure on. I mean, locally, it's McDermott. But Jackson has the MVPs. And what Allen does not really have, even the Bengal game isn't quite this. Like, Jackson, you look through their playoff losses, and it's what they've given up 23, 28, 17, 24, 17. Like, those are the losses. Like, that's the difference to me, Sal, is that Josh Allen does not have playoff losses where his defense only gave up 17 points. And that is where the pressure to me goes with Jackson. Because if he has another performance like that, especially with Derrick Henry next to him and all the historic numbers that they have offensively, if the Bills' game plan defensively works on Sunday, and even if Jackson plays well and they can't run the ball, I'm not sure it matters. It's just, if you don't score a lot of points in this game, like, everybody is coming after you for 8 months about not succeeding in the playoffs.
See, Joe, I agree 100% with you, and I would say, and it's the other way around here in Buffalo. If Josh Allen doesn't perform well and the Bills lose, I still think people go after Sean McDermott.
Yeah. I think I mostly agree, right? Allen's going to get the benefit of the doubt. And Jackson has built up, you know, to the point where he probably won't.
It's just where everything is right now. And, you know, kind of those the train is on the tracks for those things, right? It's always just been kind of steamrolling. Right now, look, there it is again. I know you another dollar. So
No, you're good.
Oh, no, it's all good. I'm trying to be more aware. So, the other part of this, though, is in this. I love this. I think this conversation is fascinating because I think it's such a legacy game. Now let's talk about if each side who wins. Right, you still have to go and win another game. You know, that's right. The other part of this, which is the winner of this game doesn't automatically go to the Super Bowl. You still have to go win another game. So as much as it matters, like, yeah, you got one side. I can't believe it. Here we go again. Lost a divisional round. Lamar Jackson lost another playoff game. Lamar Jackson can't play in the cold. Sean McDermott can't get past this round. Whatever it is. Okay, that's going to happen. But then the other team, it's like, oh my God, they won. But it's not this. They broke through because they haven't yet.
Right. I wonder what, like, it might be no matter what. Whoever wins this game, they're going to feel like they're going to Kansas City and winning the game. Like, I have to think the confidence is going to be through the roof because of the caliber of opponent you would have just beaten. If the Ravens beat the Bills, they're going to feel like, oh, we are totally walking into Kansas City and winning. And Bills fans will feel the exact same way, even though the history. Because, you know, maybe the Bills were like this in 20. I don't know, because it was new then. They hadn't won a playoff game in so long. They beat this Ravens team, but Jackson was only in year two. Like, it wasn't quite the same. Where Kansas City, like, they're going to play Houston, and there's almost nothing I feel like they could do against Houston that would be, like, super impressive to kind of, you know, neutralize this point. Because if you beat the Ravens, that's different to me than beating, you know, Skylar Thompson walking in to playing the Chiefs or playing last year, playing the Steelers before you play Kansas City. Like, I have to think, Sal, that if the Bills win this game or the Ravens, that there's going to be total confidence in beating the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think so, too. And remember, the Ravens came within a toe of doing it week one, and the Bills actually did it.
Right.
Right. And Joe, the 2020 Chiefs were a totally different animal anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just on a different level. They lost two games that year. One was the final game of the year. It's a very similar season to this year for them, by the way, for their wins and losses, but not a similar season to how they're doing it. You go back, I have their 2020 season. Joe, they just scored 27, 35, 40, like every week they were doing this, right? And for the Bills or Ravens that year to go to Kansas City was a very tall task. Remember, the Bills jumped out to a lead in that game. But the Kansas City was a much different team than how we talk about them now, for sure, in the way they're winning games.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Last thing for you, Sal. Are you like me and you had forgotten until yesterday that Tre'Davious White was on the Ravens? Because I completely had forgotten about that.
Okay, not till yesterday, but yeah, it came up a couple days ago when we were doing an Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, and Matt Bovey and I were talking about it. But you're right, when it first came up, I'm like, oh my God, that's right. And, you know, we should mention him from this standpoint, Joe. That has been, from people I've talked to in Baltimore, including Jeremy Kahn, does a really good job at our Odyssey sister station. Check it out. We interviewed him on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo a couple days ago, so you could check out that podcast. What he said was that generally what seems to be, and I don't want to say the weakest spot, but the spot of the defense where people attack the Ravens is cornerback Brandon Stevens. Mm-hmm. So you'll see Tre'Davious White come in, and they rotate a little bit because that's kind of the spot where if you're not gonna go towards Marlon Humphrey as much, and that spot's kind of hurt them a little bit more this year. That's why that is a key role. Like Tre'Davious White is playing in the spot where teams have attacked that spot, although it's the guy that normally starts ahead of him. And the other thing I've heard is Brandon Stevens has had a little bit of trouble with bigger receivers this year. Maybe Keon Coleman comes into play here in that role.
Yeah, Coleman and Cooper maybe, right? Because Cooper's right. Had some contested catches and has size. As we're on this, as we wrap here on like kind of a matchup thing, it's different than maybe how we previewed the Bronco game last week or maybe some other opponents where you might think, oh, Bills attack middle of the field, go after the linebackers. Allen is second in the league in throws to the perimeter this year in both yards per attempt and EPA per play. When he throws to the perimeter, 9.2 yards per attempt. So, yeah, maybe whoever is not being covered by Marlon Humphrey becomes a big factor in this game. But
well, the Bills love those speed outs, you know, that they run sometimes, the tight ends and some of their running backs. And then I think part of that, Joe, is also those little screens, those tunnel screens they run. I would guess that counts perimeter. I'm not sure how they count it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? To Khalil Shakir. So, yeah, it should be fun and interesting.
We'll get into a lot of matchup stuff tomorrow for sure. All right, Extra Point Show today. Thanks, Sal.
All right, you got it.
Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. Like I said, we'll get into a lot of matchup stuff tomorrow. I got some good numbers on the Bills and the Ravens when there's a fullback out on the field, and the Ravens do that 40% of the time. The Bills might do a little bit. They had a lot of Reggie Gilliam last week, so a lot of stuff to get to. 803-0550, if you're on hold, stay there. We'll take some calls when we return. As the Bills and the Ravens matchup gets closer, do you feel that pit in your stomach yet? Because It's getting close. 803-0550, it's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all. In really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Yeah, I mean, that's some of the uniqueness of Lamar, Josh included, in slightly different ways, perhaps. I mean, yeah, you've got to be ready to play, you know, I don't know, 7-8 seconds per play at least, and maybe then some. So it's going to take a heck of an effort from our football team to go up against this football team and what they have and what they bring to the table on all three phases.
Sean McDermott, what a matchup we're getting on Sunday. You know, there is a lot of, I would say there is more confidence in the Ravens going into this game from, you know, outside of Buffalo. You would love, I guess the way everyone's acting about this game is we're about to get one of the best games ever that the Ravens will win. That appears to be the attitude nationally, is this game's going to be incredible, and we expect the Ravens to win, right? You know, analysts are just analysts on TV, whatever, but like their opinions are, you know, they're just noise. But a lot of those are being picked right now for Baltimore and the sports books right now. If you look at kind of who people are betting on, and this is both how many bets and then the amount of money that's being placed on, you know, both teams, like it is favoring the Ravens right now. So it's another, it's an expectation of this game's going to be all time great and the Bills will lose it. And that's familiar. You know, you'd love for one of these times that the Bills play in an all time great game for them to come out on the right side of it. So that it's not, you know, at the end of it going, oh, you know, you guys lost, but what a game, right? Like, that's kind of how, remember Allen getting asked questions about the 13-second game for months and months after they were kind of phrased that way, like, hey, man, I know you lost it, but man, that was like the best game in NFL history, right? Being on the losing end of a game like that again is just, it might even make it more frustrating. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Let's get Dan in Niagara Falls into this matchup. What's up, Dan?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say real quick, I think the key to the game, obviously, everybody knows that, it's not been Derrick Henry. And what I mean by that is he's going to get his 100 yards. Limit his big runs. If we allow him to get the 30, 40, 50-yard touchdown runs, and I know it's easier said than done, but I don't care if you got to mix it up and put Dorian Williams, three linebacker set once in a while. But I remember, like, I played college sports back in the 90s. I don't want to talk about where I played, but I played for a Division II school. And I remember trying to hit this big running back. And we knocked him on his butt as hard as we could from the legs down, a big guy like that. He got a 10-yard run. Next time, we knocked him for only a 5-yard run. Make them work for that touchdown. Like, if it takes him 8-minute drive, we can't, because then we're on the field. You allow him to score quick with these big runs, we're going to get blown out. And I hope they play Dorian Williams and mix him up a little bit. You know, I know Taron Johnson's the main nickel guy. We are not going to win if Taron Johnson's on the field 100% of the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. I have not heard more conversation about a reserve player, a backup player, leading into a game in any that I can ever remember. Right? Like, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just, it is wild. Is it not wild, the amount of attention and talk and questions that we are giving to Dorian Williams? That's the matchup, though, right? Like, that's the matchup doing that. That is, these two teams are so good and look so even that everyone's just looking for any edge at all. Any matchup edge that you can find. And you probably feel like you have one in Williams that's unique. Like, the Bills have not had a third linebacker that we felt like deserves playing time in how long? Right? Like, when Edmonds and Milano were the linebackers, was there ever a third guy? We're like, oh, they should kind of figure out a package to get A.J. Klein out on the field. Or even their backup line. Tyrell Dodson. Dodson actually ended up being pretty good for them, but that was after he ended up starting. Like, when he was a backup, that never happened. And again, like, I'm not even saying it's wrong. Williams was good this year in run defense, and he is so fast. He had a faster 40 time than, like, half the Bills' wide receivers. But there are some coverage lapses, and, right, you're taking Taron Johnson off the field. So this might be one of those where, you know, when the offense substitutes, the defense is allowed to make a substitution of their own. So in the 40% of the time that the Ravens put their 300-pound fullback, Pat Ricard, out on the field, you'll know that. And then maybe you can call off Taron Johnson and run Dorian Williams out there only when the Ravens are in that heavy personnel. And there have been plenty of games and years in the past where the Bills, if a team did that to them, they would just kind of stay put and say, Taron Johnson stays out there no matter what. And that kind of happened last week. Maybe this game is different and maybe he gives them something. But it is just kind of crazy. Like, how much do we think he'll win them the game? You know? It would still be kind of amazing if he was the difference on defense. He's a nice player, but it's not, they don't have three all-pro linebackers. They have two really good ones and then a young guy that's shown some things that it's nice. So I don't know. Are we going too far with it? Just trying to figure out how to stop Jackson and Henry. One guy, by the way, the Bills have had no problem stopping on Baltimore, is Mark Andrews. So he's been one of the, what would you say, three best tight ends in the league over 5 years. And very different than like Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce gets his against the Bills almost every time. And you're always trying to figure out how to stop Travis Kelce. They do not have that problem with Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews, in his five career games against the Bills, including the playoffs, three catches for 31 yards, one catch for 14 yards, four catches for 28 yards, two catches for 15 yards, zero catches for 0 yards, never a touchdown. That's from Andrew Cooper on Twitter, from SiriusXM. That is great production, and maybe that's Milano. Milano taking Andrews out of the game. Like, okay, nobody can, you know, keep up with prime Travis Kelce and keep him smothered, but maybe Milano's been able to do that to Andrews. And him looking good last week is such a breath of fresh air. Like, huge, huge boost, I think, in morale for their defense this Sunday. Cannot wait for Bills Ravens on Sunday. 803-0550 is the phone number if you've got a thought on packages or something you want to see the Bills do. I want to get into the Bills on offense a little bit more. We briefly talked with Sal about the weakness that the Ravens have at boundary corner, not Marlon Humphrey, but this Brandon Stevens, who they've been starting, but he kind of comes out once in a while for Tre'Davious White, and they've been picked on with some big body receivers, and this game plan might be very different than what the Bills have had in some recent games, because it feels like the way to attack the Ravens defense right now is throwing to the outside, and that is Cooper, that is Coleman. That's especially, I mean, if you're talking about big body receivers being something the Ravens struggle with, then Coleman becomes an X factor. But how much do you feel like you want to rely on a second round rookie that's made some big plays, but it's also been a little inconsistent to kind of be the game plan? 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Sabres win last night, 4-2. They set the weirdest record ever. Scored a goal without getting a shot on goal in the third period, 4-2. So, you know, win's a win. 803-0550, Jody Biasi, Jeremy White, this is WGR.
time now for Building the Bills, brought to you by Haynes Supply. From our Buffalo roots to nationwide sales and service, we are your industrial contractor supplier.
All right, for Building the Bills, a reminder that this game is going to be super cold, wind chill in the negatives, potentially. Pat Hammer will be on with Sal tomorrow in the Extra Point Show. We'll have a good update then. But the field is going to be really cold, and when you fall on it, I'm sure very hard. The new stadium building across the street has the technology to keep the grass or the turf warmer. Melt the snow from inside the grass. I guess it could still maybe float on the top of the grass a little bit, but wouldn't, you know, be piling up if it's a couple of inches. So some really cool technology in the new stadium that will make all the cold weather kind of neutralized a little bit. You know, no wind or close to no wind that you'll be feeling, the field being warmer for the players. So all that being taken into consideration. Concourses will be warmer, so not many freezing cold games like this left where you'll be this cold. You know, you'll get your 5-degree games in the new stadium, but it's just, I think it's going to feel a lot warmer. A lot warmer. By the way, speaking of stadium stuff, the Browns are being sued by the city of Cleveland. Like, there's a fight going on in Cleveland. There's stadium stuff all over the place. Jacksonville is redoing their current stadium and building it up. Arrowhead now in Kansas City, they're talking about putting like $800 million into Arrowhead and making it into a dome, potentially, or just renovating it. Cleveland wants to move to, I think it's called Brook Park, a suburb outside of Cleveland, and they want to build this massive dome facility for the Browns. And there's a Modell law from when they moved to Baltimore that the team can't leave if they've taken taxpayer money. They can't without a permit, without approval from the city. And they're trying to move out of the city to a suburb without the city's approval, and the city's saying you can't do that, and now they're fighting. And there's a lawsuit. So, but by comparison, I feel like the Bills Stadium deal, you know, it felt like it took forever. But it never got that ugly. You didn't have the city suing or the town suing the team like you have with the Browns right now. But, yeah, one thing that is interesting is even though the Bills are not one of these teams that's building an indoor facility, an indoor dome, you are getting more teams thinking about that. We'll see if they actually do it. Like, Kansas City hasn't done it or agreed to it. And Cleveland's talking about doing indoor, but they haven't done it yet either. And the Bills, again, like, they're not indoor, but they're making it as indoor as possible while still being outdoor. So, kind of a trend in the league right now, it feels like. But by next year, you know, the new stadium, I think, like, the wrap around the building, like, the building from the outside is going to be close to looking done. It's going to be the inside that's still getting worked on. So, yeah, 803-0550 is the phone number on Bills and Ravens. If you've got a thought, I mean, people come up with trying to come up with creative ideas to stop Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. If you got a wild one, feel free to get us in on it. Somebody mentioned A.J. Epinesa moving back to linebacker. Like, we're getting wild with it. Stay tuned. Jeremy and Joe, this is WGR.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.